Hello, listener. You beautiful, lovely listener. You just downloaded this podcast. It's a fucking bit of digital. And what you're expecting is chat or, something amusing, a few nerdy words. Well, lucky you, because that's exactly what you're going to get on this, not the special edition, episode 4! Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Not the Special Edition. It's the cult, sci-fi and fantasy podcast that knows the next leap could be the leap home. But it probably won't be. It'll probably just be into the body of a racist or a woman. Or a racist woman. I'm Miles, and speaking of racist women, it is...
me again.
Yeah, it's Kit! Back by no demand whatsoever, but I want him. Is that me? I want you here, Kit.
Good.
I want every part of you.
I'm glad you're...
not that bit.
Please.
Yeah, indeed I am. What have we got coming up on the show? Do you know?
I do know.
Go on.
Would you like me to say?
Yeah, even though I haven't prepped you with what it is. It's,
well, judging by what you were talking about earlier,
yes.
I'd imagine it's to do with video games and films.
Video games and films, that is our main feature. We've also got coming up, and I don't know if I prepped you for this.
The German quiz.
The German quiz.
Look no, forward to that. What could that possibly be?
We'll find out. Recently seen, and of course, just some news stuff. It's two white guys talking about nerdy stuff. What more do you need? Okay, recently seen. Kit, have you seen anything which will be interest to our listeners or me?
No. Again, nothing.
Brilliant.
Relevant.
Glad I got here, so, mate. Yeah. it's always good. Always
yeah,
good to see you.
I've done the preparation I've done is next to nothing. Although it's more than I did last time. So I've got three lines on a page of A4.
You have actually, haven't
so,
you?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
well done you. Excellent. Well, I'm going to tell you what I've been to see then.
Okay.
I've been to see the Adam Sandler comedy Pixels.
Pixels, yes.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
It concerns... Adam Sandler, he plays a sort of 40-something schlub who, back in his youth, was very good at video games.
Hang on. Until you mention the word video games, You appear to be describing every Adam Sandler movie ever.
I don't know. I don't watch Adam Sandler films.
Just probably for the best.
I would imagine so, but let me get on to my review.
Sorry.
I'll tell you how it goes. 30 or so years later, he is called inexplicably into saving the planet from aliens who have misinterpreted a spacecraft that's gone up with examples of video games of that era of 1982. So him being the best, actually second best, he's called upon to save the universe and battle these games which are now trying to take over the Earth. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
But, do you know what? The critical mauling this film has received, it is in no way justified. I found that it's a one-dimensional, empty-headed summer blockbuster fare. It's a string of silly jokes, set pieces, and it entertains perfectly adequately for its duration. And yeah, while some of the jokes didn't land, I would say for the audience, which was about a third full, they were laughing pretty consistently throughout, including me.
Okay.
Yes, it's certainly nothing as offensive, or indeed as lazy, I think, to justify the sheer bile and the indignant critical fury it seems to have elicited. It's not deep, it's not the Lego movie, which uses its conceit as, I think, like a ruminations on sort of chaos versus order, creativity versus control, growing up and letting go. By the way, Academy Awards hate you.
What do you mean?
Well, they didn't nominate the Lego movie for Best Animated Film.
Oh, right. That's quite
absurd.
A surprise.
Absurd.
That is actually quite a surprise,
yeah.
I think, because it's sort of...
amazing.
Well, it got loads of critical acclaim as well, didn't it?
It was fantastic. Yeah. It's genuinely as deep as it need be. But Pixels definitely is not that.
Right.
It uses the novelty of its premise as exactly that. It's a novelty. It's a functioning USP to entice scores of people into the cinema, such as myself. And it does very little with it. It's like games are attacking. In reality, they're big. We play games back. Oh, that's it. But do you know what? I am fine with that.
Okay.
Genuinely, I found it amusing and fun and flaccid and flimsy and stupid and silly. Look at the pretty colours and the FX, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's fine. There's all sometimes that is genuinely all from a movie. They had low expectations. They met those absolutely adequately, and I'm happy with that. It's silly, flimsy fun, and perhaps I'm the best kind of person to see it. A slightly jaded 30-something gamer who remembers these things back in the day, and I wanted nothing deeper than that. I'll probably almost certainly never watch it again. But like you were saying earlier, I haven't seen an Adam Sandler film in, over 15 years. So I know people hate him. I know they loathe his consistent output, but I haven't seen them, so I'm not used to his brand of comedy, and for the duration of the film, it was fine. I mean, the people who do seem to hate him seem to be the kind of people who go onto the Guardian's comment is free section and comment on there, and they're not likely to ever watch him anyway, so I'm not quite sure what their beef is. He's clearly a bit of a lazy actor.
Yeah.
It worked for the film.
Okay.
It's flat and silly. It's utterly disposable, but not utterly wretched. And dare I say it, fun. So there you go. Have at that, critics.
That's nice.
It was fine.
Yeah.
It sounds more like an apology than a review, which I suppose it is. But I honestly had a good time watching it.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with, you said I'll probably never watch it again. Like, there's some films that I've genuinely enjoyed all the way through and thought, but I'll never watch that again. Because it's okay, isn't it?
It's merely okay. Is that good enough? Probably not, no. It's like something I say about Amazing Spider-Man 2. It was fine. It was acceptable. Something called Amazing Spider-Man shouldn't be there, but it was. And I just don't understand the indignant fury that it seems to have elicited from just about every critical quarter.
What rating was it?
It's 12A.
Okay.
And its tone is a little bit awkward at times, and some of the sexual politics are a little bit backward, shall I say.
Right, okay.
And just a little bit, not even adolescent, actually. They're a bit pre-adolescent. Very simplistic sort of level of characterization. But again, cardboard ciphers emitting stupid jokes, fine.
Right.
I sort of depressed myself talking about it. I actually really quite enjoyed it.
You've talked yourself out of liking it.
Yeah, for God's sake, don't see it.
The more you, if you do go and see it, don't then attempt to podcast where you overanalyze it.
Well, do you know? Expectations played an awful lot,
right,
in that film. I mean, this has now become the podcast where I've damned Birdman, the Oscar-winning film of 2015, and I praise Pixels, most critically mauled film of the last decade. Fine, yeah, good. Expectations play a huge role in it, and I went in with incredibly low expectations, but I just wanted something to take my mind off the day and enjoy about video games, and that's exactly what I got. It's fine. It's fine. It's okay.
What more can you ask for, really? I think the problem I suppose, but I think the problem where like a lot of films which have been inspired or use the source material as a video game, where they fall flat is when they attempt to be more highbrow than they are, and then the game was or whatever. So
yeah. You could be right, which is why something like... Well, we're going to get onto this in a bit, actually. I'll save that for later.
Okay. That's
my main thing. I also watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which is shit. But again, I was quite drunk. It was really late at night. And it's on Arrow Blu-ray, by the way. I'm sure everyone who listens to this knows about Arrow Blu-rays. And Arrow DVDs, for that matter. They present fantastically presented... I can't say they present fantastically presented presentations of films.
No, you can't say that. A man of your journalistic stature can't have that on there.
They do really good film releases with extras and that. And they clean up the transfers. Oh, like, come on, just Arrow. You know what Arrow are like, but anyway, they take cult classics and some not so cult classics, and they give them perhaps the gravitas they don't deserve. But nonetheless, I appreciate their efforts. Killer Clowns was one of those. I picked it up very cheap. It's rubbish, but. Again, I quite enjoyed it for the duration. So I was drunk. I'm a Friday the 13th fan. My expectations are pretty low.
Well, yeah. They probably get lower with every extra film that comes out.
They do, yeah.
Yes.
Do you see the remake?
No.
Yeah, so stay like that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's all I've seen recently. That and the Doctor Who trailer, which promises a new character who has previous dealings with the Doctor. And I don't mean Missy, a.k.a. the Master.
Right.
It's Maisie Williams, her off of Game of Thrones, little Anya Stark.
Oh, okay.
She seems to be playing a character from, at least the way they play it in the trailer, from the Doctor's past. She's like, oh, I've been waiting for you. She's like, oh my God, it's you. And But it could be mean, oh my god, it's you, you're in episode one of this new series, and now they're playing a clip from episode 13, we don't know. But a lot of people saying, oh, perhaps it's, I don't know, his daughter, Susan, or perhaps it's Orko from He-Man and the Master of the Universe. Don't know. What am I supposed to pay to have an opinion?
I don't know, but maybe some of the people on our, you know, this podcast's new Twitter account might have an opinion.
They could! If you want to follow us on Twitter, please do, it's at NotSpecialPod. At NotSpecialPod. We have four followers. Me, Will Salmon, who will be back on the podcast at some point, I assume, Chris Berry fans, and Very Cute Animals. At Very Cute Animals. Can I give you an example of their most recent...
Yeah, tell me about Very Cute Animals. What do they have to say about
that's what them? I've recently seen. At Very Cute Animals.
Actually, it's interesting that you should bring up Twitter. Actually, you didn't, I did. But when, I don't know if you remember, was it Charlie Brooker said that when he was rating the top video games,
he put it in as a game.
He put it in as number one. He said the idea was that you had to amass as many fans as possible. That was the object.
I don't know if that was number one, but he certainly put it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I fundamentally disagree with him. Twitter is not a game. It is social media, and people play it. Not, they don't play it like that. They play the system like that. But it's not a game.
Okay.
There's nothing gaming about it. No. I mean, it's as much as... I suppose I can say that Animal Crossing isn't a game. There's no real objective.
He was probably just trying to shoehorn a satirical comment into the show.
Well, he should. So, at Very Cute Animals, okay. Last, they retweeted the funny Chloe. Girls thought these Snapchats would be deleted, but this happened. Internet buddies laughed at her in her prom dress, but look who's laughing now. Two exclams. That's from Common White Girl.
Okay.
I don't recommend you follow out Very
scintillating.
Cute.
Scintillating.
No.
No.
Let's go on, shall we?
Yeah, I think so.
Off we go. Whee! Was ist das? Ist einen German Quiz! Hello, it's Not the Special Edition's German Quiz! It's a celebrity identity quiz, but based entirely in German. Because, you know, everything the Germans have ever said is funny.
Where the hell did you come up with this idea?
Hospital radio.
Okay.
You can only play Suicide is Painless so many times where they throw you off the wall and you have to come up with a speech-based feature. Okay, so basically I'm going to read you out some clues as to the identity of a well-known celebrity who will be immersed in science and fire and cult and fantasy, that sort of thing.
Right, okay.
And you've got to guess who it is.
But the clues are going to be in German.
The clues will be in German. Otherwise, okay. What's the fun in that?
Yeah.
For the benefit of the listeners at home, the English translation will follow the German. Why not play along?
Okay, here we go. Eins. Mir ist ein US-amerikanischer Schauspieler. Ich bin in 1980 ein geboren. Ich habe groß Muskeln und ein Gesicht auf Wasch. Or Wax.
I am an American actor. I was born in 1981. My muscles are big and face made of wax.
He's got waxy skin. No. Is it Vin Diesel?
It's not Vin Diesel. You lose. Okay, right, that was clue.
He was born in 1980.
You can speak more German than I bloody well have. Yeah,
by saying 1980 really slowly,
I'm going to have to say it with a more swarthy accent. I see to put you off the scent.
No. Keep going. I've got no idea who it is.
Clue zwei. Ich war in nicht ein guter Teen Movie. Es ist wahrscheinlich scheiße. Ich hatte sexy sex mit Jessica Biel zu 10. Ich hatte gesehen, dass sie wohlig nackt. Wir konnten Krankheiten teilen, aber ich hoffe nicht.
I was in not another teen movie. It is probably shit. I used to do sexy sex with Jessica Biel. I have seen her totally naked. We might share diseases, but I hope not.
I didn't get any of that. He had sex with Jessica Biel.
That he used to say. Okay, so no idea. No idea.
No, I don't know.
Okay. Clue 3. Wir teilen den gleichen Namen, aber in bin nicht Ger Ingvar Mann aus TFI Freistag. Ich hasse nicht gesiegt Küster Billy Piper. Ich werde nicht Top Gear präsentieren. Ich nicht jemand ermordet, aber fair zu sein, hat Wade er.
We share the same name, but I'm not the ginger man from TFI Friday. I have not face-kissed Billy Piper. I will not present Top Gear. I haven't murdered anyone. Though to be fair, neither has he.
He presents Top Gear? No. Surely not. Richard Hammond wasn't born in 1980. But he's the youngest one. Doesn't even exist anymore. It's culturally irrelevant. Finally.
Clufia, because you're clearly not getting it. Okay, right. And hopefully you'll get it for this. This is the last one, okay?
Okay.
Ich war Johnny Sturm der Fantastisch Vier. Ich bin Kapitän Amerika.
Right.
Ich bin ein Racher. Viele Damen Lust auf meinen heißen Körper. Gott weiß warum. Ich hasse ein wahrsatiger Geschicht.
I was Johnny Storm in the Fantastic Four. I am Captain America. I am an Avenger. Many ladies fancy my hot body. God knows why, I have a waxy face.
So he was Johnny Storm, and he was Captain America.
Yeah.
And the ladies lust after his body.
Das ist richtig.
But I don't know who it is, because I've had a mom. I've seen, I know who it is. Alright, who is it?
Have you not heard, right, shall I do Clue Dreis again?
No. I don't know, you can if you want.
Aus TFI Freistag.
Yeah, TFI Friday.
Geschichte Kuster, Billy Piper.
He's friends with Billy Piper. He's in a relationship with Billy Piper.
He's not, no.
He's Billy Piper's brother.
yeah, Dominic Piper. No.
I don't fucking know, mate.
Ich bin Chris Evans, auf Filmen.
I am Chris Evans, from Off of Films.
Oh, right, so when you said TFI Friday, it wasn't the same Chris Evans.
It's not the same Chris Evans, no.
Jesus. It was the question something like, I share a name with.
Yeah!
Right, okay. I don't speak German, do I?
You lose. Well, that's the fun in the game, isn't it? Yeah. It's definitely fun.
Ich losse.
Yeah. Du bist ne Klaumkopf. Scheiße in dein Booty. I don't know what that means. Okay, main feature following on from my recently seen, not at Very Cute Animals, but Pixels, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Video game based films, / movies. I suppose they are kind of all movies.
Yeah, just trying to think the first one I saw. That was probably Super Mario Brothers.
Wow.
Which would have been at a time when I'd probably never even played Super Mario Brothers.
Oh,
because
so...
I always had the Sega stuff, not the Nintendo.
You're a Sega boy,
yeah.
Not a Nintendo. Yeah, same here. So why did you watch the film then?
I don't know. It was supposed to be like... It was like a big family release, wasn't it? Also? And obviously, you can... Mario Brothers is such a part of popular culture that it's significant without you even having to have played it, I think. I believe I went to see it at the cinema.
Jesus, you contributed to that thing's box office. I watched it on YouTube.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I saw it back in the day, I think possibly on VHS or telly, I'm not sure what. It's fucking rubbish, isn't it?
It's dreadful.
It's really bad.
Well, I mean, I can remember liking it when I saw it, but then again, I was probably, what, six? No, probably older than that.
It was 1992, 93?
Oh, yeah. No, it would have been, what? Eight,
impressionable.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, because I watched it fairly recently for this, rewatched it on YouTube.
Oh, did you?
And, totally all over the place. It takes very little from the actual game itself, and that which it does take, it changes or ruins. It's not good.
Mm.
I mean, the first of 25 minutes, Mario and Luigi are both sort of lascivious. He's very angry. Mario's nothing like the cheerful little pizza-loving plumber. Or should I say mushroom? I don't know what he likes. From the video games, he's quite a surly, grumpy... And it's John Leguizamo... Who I'll always know is, I think that's his name, is Luigi. I'll always know is Billy Branko from the Bronx, from, is it Carlito's Way? I don't know.
Oh, right. Okay.
He's also the voice of the really annoying one in the Ice Age films, Sid the Sloth.
I see.
That's pretty much all I know him from. I think he's in Kick-Ass 2 as well, but.
Okay.
Oh, I saw that recently, actually. It's crap.
Yeah, I must admit, I wasn't hugely taken with the first one, so I didn't bother with the second one. Did you like it, did you?
I adored Kick-Ass. The original, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got put off by a few bits. I remember thinking it was all right the first time I watched it. The second time I watched it, I just felt quite jaded by it. Like, that burning scene is just horrible.
Oh, yeah, someone very, very close to me who did not take well to that scene
yeah.
and was not happy with me showing it to them.
Okay.
Moving on. So, yeah, it's a film based on Mario Brothers. It's rubbish. I mean, it's really properly crap. Mm. It's not totally, as I said, it's all over the place. There are some really unnecessarily adult parts of it. According to Bob Hoskins' autobiography, he and John Leguizamo were drunk throughout most of the filming because they knew how bad it was. I don't understand the line of thought that takes a property, changes so much of it, and makes something that's barely recognisable. They could have changed their names, and really, it wouldn't have had any connection whatsoever to the video game series in the first place. I guess you do keep that for the brand recognition, so people come and pay your monies and sees it.
It sounds to me like exactly the sort of thing that used to happen a lot, and it seems to be happening less these days, luckily, but in the production company just takes the title, central idea or something, and has no idea about the actual what it's come from, and makes something completely different from it.
Yeah, I mean, they do that a lot with spec scripts, don't they? That they've just got in the slush pile, and then they'll change a couple of elements to make that. I'm trying to think, one of the Die Hard films, I think possibly Die Hard 4.0 or whatever it's called, but don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure that was just a spec script, and then they shoehorned in, or it could have been Die Hard with a Vengeance, shoehorned in parts of the series just to make it so.
And
of course, then get the box office. It happens to a lot of things. There's a major one I'm trying to think of now, and I don't know off my head. But yeah, you're right. It that's what they always feel like. They've just been rebadged, if you like. Mm. It's, you know, I'm not driving a Mini Metro. I'm not driving a Metro. They've rebadged it, you fool. That sort of thing. That's exactly what it feels like. And Super Mario Brothers, terrible. I did go through some of the YouTube comments under it.
Oh, yeah, I love a YouTube comment.
Ben Wilson, possibly not the ex-editor of PlayStation Magazine, I don't know, could be. I think the reason this was never flagged for copyright is because no one wants to admit that they own this. the whole thing is up there in one massive film chunk. And you know, after, there's also, it's mad, if you put in Super Mario Bros. Film, that comes up, and then the official one comes up for which you can pay, like £2.50 or something to see.
Right.
Yeah. I went the free route.
Yeah.
Clearly. Tommy. He's got a little picture there.
Got a little avatar.
Yeah, of.
Oh, that's looks like one of Thomas the Tank Engine.
It's Thomas the Tank Engine. It's close up. But this is the reason Nintendo is never giving out licenses to any companies evermore. They act like this doesn't exist. It's quite funny, even though the movie is quirky as hell. I really like it, but that's probably nostalgia. And it's got a tongue pointing out emoticon. And then underneath which Emma Carroll has replied with, "God, your profile pic. No offence, is paedophilic." Good. Like those sort of debates they have on YouTube. And then finally, I think the last word has to go to the game 346, and the fuckers had the audacity to set it up for a sequel. Which is pretty good.
Was that typed in capital letters?
It was.
Yeah.
Of course it was. It's rubbish. But then from then on, it kind of, I don't know if it went quiet for a bit, but it, more recently, it has snowballed, has it not? It's snowballed. We've had Hitman 47, Prince of Persia.
Yeah.
Oh, the Street Fighter films.
Yes.
They are a bit brilliant, in a way. Are they not?
I haven't seen any of them.
Seriously, you've not seen the Van Damme and Kylie one?
No. Actually, no, maybe I have seen that.
It's got matey off of Adam's Family, whose name I can't remember now, as M. Bison.
You rate them?
It's not a film. No, it's awful.
It's awful.
But again, I seem to be recommending terrible films this podcast. The Street Fighter film, I think anyone who watches it admits that it's terrible, but it is kind of compulsively rubbish and enjoyable as a result. It is stupid and it doesn't work. But by God, it's fun. The good thing about the Street Fighter one for Jean-Claude Van Damme is he got some wham-bam with Ms. Minogue.
What, really?
Yeah, I read an interview with him recently. I mean, he's allegedly, and it's what he says. Yeah, he says he'd done the nasty with little Kylie. I don't think they were his words. Maybe they were, I don't know. I used to like him, and I found out he wasn't quite so nice.
Why is he not nice?
I can't say. Well, I can say he was into all kind of drug malarkeys, and not that. I mean, you know, that's fine. I'm not going to judge you on that. But he hit his wife.
Oh dear.
Yeah, he's a wife beater. That's. Let's move on.
That's probably something to cut out of this podcast.
But I've enjoyed some, I think. Have I? Have you? Is it a good idea?
Do you know what? I cannot think of one that I've enjoyed, actually. It might be because I'm more dedicated to the source material. I remember one of the first ones I went to see, and I went to see it at the cinema, was the Final Fantasy VII film, Spirits Within. Right. And I just came away from it thinking, what on earth was that about? Even though it seems, I've looked it up afterwards, and it seems that loads of people actually like it.
Oh, okay.
One of the problems with it is that, I mean, how long is a video game? Even these days, the average game, what does it take? 25 hours? 20 hours, something like that, yeah. And if it's got a half-decent plot, enough to make someone want to make a film out of it, how do you crystallise that into a film? Or
yeah, I think you're right. And most action sequences in games, they do advance the plot with very small... I mean, one of the main, I think, tenets of action cinema is that every action scene should advance the plot.
Mm.
And in games, some of them do, clearly, because you clear a room full of bad guys. But in games, a lot of the time, there is basically a plot stitched around action elements. And the yes. better ones hide that, or rather, they go along with it. Like, I know you're wearing an Aperture Laboratories thing, like Portal and the Half-Life series and Uncharted, games like that. Yeah. They incorporate the stories into the mechanics and the sort of tactile elements of playing. But I think a lot of the time, they just need action sequences.
Yeah.
Such as the... I've just finished Arkham Knight. Yeah, 8 out of 10, I think I'll give it.
Okay.
Some very frustrating sequences.
Really?
Yeah, and spoilers. Yeah, the Arkham Knight is clearly... well, it is. It's not clearly. It is Jason Todd.
Right. Mm. Well, last week there was a question mark over that point. No, there's not.
No, there's not. No. Sorry. But the story, actually, on that game, I loved. And it came down, again, to the very battle of wills that Batman always faces as that character. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah.
But that, even though a lot of those action sequences, many of them were just clear out a room of bad guys, get past this thing here. And films, I think, have to compete with that. And it's tricky. Again, like you say, yeah, they are completely different mediums.
Maybe that's part of the problem, especially... You know, the idea of a story being woven into every part of a game is quite a modern one.
Very much so.
Certainly, again, with Super Mario, how much plot really is there in the game, you know? So if you're trying to get a film out of it, maybe that's why it bore no resemblance to the games itself. You know?
Absolutely right, yeah. You're bang on.
Could you really have made a two-hour film about jumping on mushrooms and grabbing gold coins and saving the princess from the dragon?
You're right. I mean, maybe that's what Pixels was suffering from in its own way, is that they are relying on the old mechanics of games, which were purely mechanical. They're like, these are the bad guys, you're the good guy, kill them until they're dead. And yeah, only recently, really, has narrative. And like, still, to me, I think the idea about spoilers in a game is still kind of alien and a bit weird. Mm. Like, I go along with it and I embrace it fully, and it's fantastic, but... Go back, you know, back in even in the early 90s, the spoilers in the game would have been burned at the stake if you'd have suggested such a thing.
Mm.
But yeah, mechanically, that's all games had back in the day. They had a scrolling text.
Yeah.
And I know people go, oh, well, you know, Pac-Man, that's the original survival horror. Is it? Not really. It's just a thing to say. It's
that?
A clever... Oh, people say it. It's a faintly clever observation.
What, as in because you're being chased by something, right?
Yeah,
okay.
But it's not. So there's no plot there to be had. And I think in some ways that's what Pixels suffered from, really. Is they were grappling with the idea that they're being attacked by all these games which are nothing more than surface-level attack. As opposed to something like Wreck-It Ralph, it's a really good grapple with both the games, but actually it only uses games as a, I don't want to say vehicle, it uses it as a device to actually tell a story about sort of destiny and autonomy and making the best of yourself. It's a beautiful film, it really is. A lot more touch than I was ever willing to give it credit for the first time round. But it only uses games as a backdrop, really, and just a device to tell that story. And I think with specific video game stories, they don't. They've got the icons, they've got things like, well, Prince of Persia wasn't actually that bad. But things like the Hitman game. It's like, he is Hitman, he killed people, and that's it. Although someone here, I actually asked people for comments on games, not on our at Not Special Pod or even at Very Cute Animals. This was on Facebook.
Stop mentioning the animals.
At Very Cute Animals. They've got 24,000 followers.
Unnecessary plugs. It's not like they're going to send us some animals.
Okay, so I asked for some comments, not for, we don't have a Facebook group, we're only young, but I asked some comments from some people what I know off of the internet.
Mm.
We'll take it in turns to read, shall we?
Oh, okay,
can I give you the massive one?
All right.
That's from Herbert West. That's not his real name.
All
Herbert
this?
West is a character from Reanimator.
Okay.
Thanks, mate. Let's go for a piss. Crack on.
So, Herbert West. So, is this someone you actually know?
I know him off the internet.
Okay. Right,
I know he's fairly short, bearded, and likes Doctor Who.
Herbert West says, "The film of Silent Hill does a fantastic job of capturing the unsettling atmosphere of the game. Although it takes massive liberties with the storyline, as you would expect with any adaptation, it misses a trick by ignoring the second game, which is the one that really gets to grips with the Freudian nightmare that is Silent Hill. On the other hand, by ignoring the male protagonist of the second game, Silent Hill goes something very interesting." And very wet, sorry Herbert. "It becomes a feminised horror film. Very much interested in matriarchy and maternal instincts, even the monsters are inflected with the prevalent fear of sexual abuse. This, of course, is never stronger than with Pyramid Head, but also note the creation of the caretaker, the only monster specifically created for the film, and the part he plays in the story of the little girl." Herbert West also follows that up with, "Oops, hit return."
Don't read that bit! Should have proofread this before I gave it to you. Go on. Oops, hit return. You're right, actually. Herbert, you're very right. Oops, hit return is exactly what I thought when I saw Silent Hill.
Oh, dear.
Come on.
"The visuals and art design are wonderful, taking the visual cues of the game, the omnipresent fog introduced into the game to deal with the limitations of draw distance, and turning into narrative and character signifiers. It's not the most successful game-to-movie adaptation, as it will leave some fans of the game series cold, but there's a lot here for fans of the horror genre to enjoy. And even the most cynical game fan will, if they watch it at night, with the lights off and the snow piling down outside, feel the same frisson of discomfort and anticipation they got when the original's games were wearing away in the PS2.
Oh, that's very beautiful.
That's a really nice sentence. The whirring bit.
I like the whirring. Delightful. The whirring. Very suggestive of whirring. He doesn't actually say, he says, it's not the most successful game to movie adaptation, but he doesn't say what it is. Come on, Herbert.
No, Herbert.
You can oops, hit, return, that's all you like, but you're not going to tell us that, are you?
Get back to us, sorry.
Shall I just read that one? Sarah Marsh, Tetris the Movie.
Tetris the Movie.
Tetris the Movie has actually been announced. And I mean, you'd imagine it's going to be something like the Pixels.
I heard that, I assumed it was a joke, but you can't tell these days, can you?
You can't, I thought it was a joke too. Okay, so someone else, Lee Howard actually, from the Movie Matters podcast, that's something I'm definitely going to plug. Movie Matters podcast, genuinely, if you like good podcasts, go to that. It's genuinely terrifically good. They're really learned people. They know what they're talking about. And they're entertaining if they do it.
Mm.
Fuck them, I say.
Yeah.
No, don't listen to them. Really good. Movie Matters podcast. Go to it. Silent Hill, the design and sequence featuring the nurses plus key use of musical cues is spellbinding. Have you seen the Silent Hill movie?
No.
No, right, okay. I have. Barely remember it. Again, very last. I stopped watching films really late at night. I think it's got Sean Bean in it, but I might be wrong.
I've barely played the game. I got it. It's one of the games that I own. It contained like a demo disc of Silent Hill.
All right.
Or possibly Silent Hill 2, I don't know.
Was it Silent Hill 4 The Room?
I can't remember which game it was. It depends on which company produced it. Who produced it? Was it Squaresoft or Konami?
I don't know.
Okay, never mind.
Don't ask me questions.
It depends. It's all right. It's fine. Anyway, I played it and it scared me, so I didn't like it.
Do you not do scary games?
No.
Okay, so that was Lee Howard. Charmaine Lovett said, "How could you not love Street Fighter with good old JCVD and Kylie?" I like that, JCVD. He sounds like a VCR. That's cool.
Yeah.
You're wrong, I do love it. I think it's fantastic. It's not fantastic, it's garbage, but it's bloody enjoyable garbage.
Yeah.
Sean Reynolds says, "Had this conversation the other evening after catching a bit of Jake Gyllenhaal in Prince of Persia. After about 5 minutes, I'd settled in on the opinion the Resident Evil series are the best video game movies. Silent Hill is a good attempt. The rest are a bit pants."
Hmm.
So you think, got a point there, actually.
The Resident Evil's probably done the best.
Certainly agree that there are far more people who see those things than play the games.
Yeah.
Surely, because there's been about fucking 7 or 8, isn't there?
Well, and also they've... and maybe that's the object of a film producer who wants to make a film of a video game, mm-hmm. is to open it up to an audience that wouldn't have played the games.
Mm-hmm.
It must be, because... you know, I'd imagine they always will be. Films will have a far, far greater audience than even the most popular video games will
be. Yeah. Do you know what's really weird about some video game movies? Is that they inspire, then, spin-offs of the film. There is a Street Fighter game called Street Fighter the Movie.
Oh, yeah, there is, isn't
it's
there?
It's a game based on the movie, which is based on the game.
I'm sure there's a term for that, but...
Pickle?
I can't think
Otter?
Of it.
Otter?
Wool? No, when Synergy. Sort of the medium changes, and then, you know, when it's sort of like imitating, goes back to...
Is it postmodern?
No, I don't know, probably.
No,
I
don't know.
Maybe it's post-postmodern. No, it's not, it's not. It's not.
Toby Aiken says, only video games, surely Battleship deserves a mention in slating. No, it doesn't. Nick Butler, soft spots for the first Mortal Kombat and manga Street Fighter movie. Actually, he's got a point. The first Street Fighter animated movie, it's got a bit which is fairly notorious amongst most people with a sense of decency, with Chun-Li in the shower.
Oh, right.
Yeah, quadruple dare you not to mention the Super Mario Brothers. R.I.P. Hoskins. Yes, yeah, R.I.P. Hoskins indeed.
We've already... decimated that one. So. Mm-hmm.
Vincent Lauthon says, I adore Prince of Persia. Good for you, Vincent. Paul Lamprey just says, Need for Speed. But he puts an ellipsis afterwards. Suggests Need for Speed. Looks to distance. I don't know what that means. Now, this is a very good comment from Russell Langley. He said, the problem with games to movies, especially good, well-liked games, is that they already have a fan base which likes the games for what they are and the way they are. When they transfer that to movies, they have to change certain things, like the story or parts of it, in order to fit in with what they want. Also, the characters never seem to fit the bill. Resident Evil was close, but as a Resident Evil fan, I felt let down. Same goes for most games. Unless they try tongue-in-cheek, it very rarely works. I like Doom because of this. I'm looking forward to see what they do with MGS, Uncharted and Assassin's Creed, all due in the next couple of years. I'm unclear there as to whether he means... MGS Uncharted and Assassin's Creed games, because Metal Gear Solid 5 is due out like now, isn't
it? Yeah, it's like literally weeks away.
Uncharted, yeah, there's a new one coming in Assassin's Creed, there's always a new Assassin's Creed. I don't know if he means film adaptations, because surely if there's an MGS, it's going to be about fucking 4 days long.
Well, yeah, I mean...
I don't think there is. I think he must mean
the game. He must mean the game.
Which is a very cinematic game.
Yeah. I remember... reading in a magazine years and years ago that Metal Gear Solid would have been like a prime candidate for making a film out of.
Yeah.
And they thought that Kurt Russell, and apparently he's got a brother that I'd never heard of, could have played a Solid and Liquid Snake.
Bertrand. Yeah.
No, yeah. Bertrand Russell, the philosopher.
Bertrand Russell. Sorry, were
What's
you talking?
That?
Let's do the hustle. By, I don't know, Mickey Mackey or something.
I've got
were you talking? I wasn't really listening. Oh, sorry, so. Well, that was Snake. Snake was based on Kurt Russell in the Escape to New York films, wasn't it? Escape to New York films, wasn't he?
Well, sort of.
Snake Plissken.
They take it in the second Metal Gear Solid game, when Snake first appears,
Snake!
He's pretending to be a Navy SEAL, and he's going under the name of Iroquois Plissken.
Oh, right.
So that's a reference back to that. So I'm not quite sure how similar the character actually is, being familiar with both of those.
Okay. And so to Ash Lee, he's put, that's a tough one. I guess I wasn't too disappointed in Resident Evil 1 and 2.
Not being too disappointed is okay, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just kind of how I felt about Pixels.
Yeah.
Going back to that again. John Sykes says, I remember enjoying the Silent Hill movie more than I should have, but only because it pretty much copied the game shot for shot, and the shots of the game were nicely directed. If only the Super Mario Brothers movie had tried the same trick and shot the whole thing like the game, we might not have noticed the lack of depth of the characters or plot. Wes Anderson should have shot it.
Well, that is a brilliant idea. I would love to see a Super Mario Brothers film shot point of view style from Mario. That would be brilliant. It would end up looking like a parkour video or something like that.
Like Mirror's Edge, but where you jump on mushrooms.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of all psychedelic and stuff. Oh, that's a brilliant idea, John Sykes.
Well done, John Sykes. You'd get on with John Sykes.
Yeah.
You both wear glasses. You both... That's about it, really.
That's all you need these days.
Graham Bell, Prince of Persia is a great film let down by being labelled a video game tie-in. I don't think it's great, but it's okay. I've seen it. If it was simply released as a swashbuckling Arabian Nights-esque adventure, it could have easily been a sleeper cult classic, and dare I say a franchise, actually, I'm adding my own bit there. Instead, it's held back by being strapped to a game that it barely represents. I think that's quite true, actually. I mean, again, like I was saying about Mario Brothers earlier, I mean, would that film have... Yeah, I think it still would have been as slated had it not been called Mario Brothers and had Mario and Luigi in it, and been just an entirely odd cult film all of its own, because it's really kind of out there story. Back to Graham. I always feel like I should like Mortal Kombat, but beyond a few well-directed fights and a nice line in retro stop-motion and a soundtrack that doesn't suck, it's largely Bobbins. Does Wreck-It Ralph count? Yes. It seems to be mostly based on Donkey Kong, with Mario being a total hero to the Kong-like Ralph. I've seen the first half hour several times and it always makes me laugh. It's easily the best use of Street Fighter characters in a movie. Yeah, probably. Also, it's the best use of Q-Bert in a movie, because Q-Bert is also in Pixels and not as funny. Although it was a very good last shot, which was almost worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Wreck-It Ralph is still the best game, film to have Q-Bert in it as a character.
Okay.
No, I really like Wreck-It Ralph. I think it's genuinely quite heartening. The scene where Wreck-It Ralph does what he's good at to... I can't remember the girl's name. To the girl's car. It's heartbreaking.
Mm.
It really is. And it's played with such conviction. He genuinely thinks he's doing a good thing, and she is obviously incredibly... I always use incredible on this podcast. She is astonishingly... Mm. I said, now fuck it. Anyway, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Why can't someone right-click my words and then I'll come up with new ones as I speak? finally, last word goes to Paul Kirkley. I'm against, generally speaking. Hope that helps. Thanks, Paul. Thanks.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I should say, Paul Kirkley's book, Space Helmet for a Cow. It's called Doctor Who from 1963 to 1989. Bloody excellent.
Okay.
And you don't really have to be a massive Doctor Who fan to read it. It's genuinely properly laugh-out-loud funny. It's not smirk humour. It's gut-bustingly hilarious. It is. It's really funny.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's that. So video game movies. I mean, of course, there are games which are like video. Games which are like films, but I think that's an entirely separate conversation.
Games which are like films. I mean, that's a whole different area, really. It's sort of... That's something which has become more prevalent in recent years. And I think it's just that, you know, what with the technology becoming, making that sort of thing easier, you know, facilitating it. I'm sure more video games would have been like films in the past, but they only had 16-bit worth of capacity or something to play with or whatever it was, you know. So,
quite right.
I don't know. Games trying to be like movies. Again, the first one that I remember reading a review of when the first Metal Gear Solid came out, and it sort of said something along the lines of, this is an interactive movie. You know, right. It's a movie that you play parts of because it was so plot heavy.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I agree with that, but it was the first time I heard anything like that mentioned.
But the Metal Gear series are notorious for having sort of 50-minute cutscenes, are they not?
Yeah, and they get worse and worse. Don't get me wrong, I'm a huge fan of the Metal Gear Solid series, but I recently replayed Metal Gear Solid 4, and that contains the longest cutscene in a video game, which is, I think it's 71 minutes long,
Jesus.
Something like that. It's ridiculous. And within that, that's comprised, there's like five different or several sort of sections. Within that 71-minute section, it also contains the longest continuous scene, which is something like 29 minutes long or something like that. It's ridiculous. I found it... Actually, the first time I found it, played it, I probably found that quite tedious.
Quite tedious?
Yeah. It's... Okay. Yeah, because it just sort of goes on and on and on. The second time, it made more sense. And I was... Well, because I knew what was coming, But I was like, well, I might as well be watching a film at this point.
Mm.
But the first time I watched it... Because you're playing a video game, it takes you by surprise.
Mm.
You get to a certain bit, you're playing, and then all of a sudden, you've got to watch over an hour's worth of... You know what... And it gives you the option to save within it, but... You're probably not going to do that because you're not anticipating it being that long.
That's madness.
Mm.
I forgot to read out Baz Collins, sorry. Baz says, I, for one, am so glad they never made a Legend of Zelda film. They would have fucked it up royally.
Yeah, again, Legend of Zelda, it's Nintendo, isn't it? So I've played it. Obviously, I'm aware of it. I know what it's about, and I know loads of people love it. I always compare it to the Final Fantasy series, just just because it's an RPG or whatever. And as I mentioned earlier, I was disappointed by both of the Final Fantasy films. I know where he's coming from.
There is going to be an Angry Birds film, of course.
Is there?
Yeah, there really is. My son, who is 4, I might add, soon to be 5, he loves Angry Birds. I mean, in that he's got an Angry Bird costume, he draws the picture, and there's actually a mask just, I think, behind you or somewhere, I'm not sure, of an Angry Bird. He thinks they're amazing. He's more wrapped up in the whole fandom of Angry Birds than he is the games itself, even though he loves the games.
Yeah.
He dresses as them and whatnot and draws pictures of them all the time. Not bad pictures for a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
But he is absolutely the target demographic for that film. As and when it comes out, I don't know, unless they make it weirdly adult and the Angry Birds are fucking the pigs or something. I'm not sure. But I can't see how anyone could get... I think people would get annoyed at having to watch it. But I can't see how anyone's going to get annoyed at the adaptation they do.
No, I don't know. And I think along similar lines, surely the inevitable that there will be a Minecraft film.
Yes. Oh, but there is a Minecraft sitcom.
There's Minecraft books, like novelizations. They're all like unofficial, something. Yeah. But then again, how can you get a plot out of something like that? It's going to
pass. Tetris the movie will be the litmus test, really, yeah. Whether or not that is possible. Maybe it'll be brilliant. I mean, look at the Lego movie. No one kind of expected that to be anywhere near as good as it is, and it's bloody brilliant. It's a really fantastic film, which should be watched by just about everyone. And it's really touching. Genuinely incredibly touching. And better than fucking Birdman.
Right. Take that, Birdman.
News. Why did you ever leave my band? Right. So, news. A Jurassic Park cartoon was originally in development in the early 90s. There you go.
Really?
How's that for you?
I've never heard that.
No, it's only recently come out. That's why it's news. Fuck's sake. Illustrator William Stout.
I've taken the concept of news and missed it a point entirely.
Do you just watch the 10 o'clock news and go, fuck hell, I didn't know that. Oh my God. Come check this out. They're dropping some bad reality bombs on us this night. Okay, William Stout, an illustrator, recently revealed a lot of early design concepts for a Jurassic Park cartoon in the early 90s. It was supposed to be a bit of a more of an adult take on it.
Oh, right.
Using the original characters, it was still not munched by the end of the original film. And Spielberg nixed the idea, said, nah, not really interested.
See, as soon as you started saying that, my first thought was, that would have been quite cool. And then I thought, how would it have, in terms of actually fitting in with the plot of the film, how could that possibly have worked? Because the idea is that it's before it's even started, it's failed. Mm. So where's the cartoon going to fit in? It's a succinct story, isn't it? So unless they... Because, you couldn't even have it as a prequel because...
No.
That is before, it's the genesis of a project.
That was good nearly getting eaten. Let's go back.
Yeah.
So that's story, new story. Another one is that sometimes Superman Henry Cavill, currently disappointing dads everywhere in the Man from U.N.C.L.E. remake, he has stated that he's not going to be in the Suicide Squad movie.
Oh.
Which can only be a good thing, really. I mean, there's a lot of characters in there already. I think chucking in the Man of Steel is like, oh, fucking hell, another one.
Okay. So, I can't really see what the connection he has at all with the film is.
Well, Batman's in it, and Batman's in his film coming up. So, it's not like just, you know...
Okay, all right.
Yeah. It's not like Benedict Cumberbatch just saying, well, I'm not here, by the way. So, there we are. So
Richard Burton sends a message on the grave.
Richard Pryor as well.
By the way, I'm not in this film. Richard Pryor's. Okay, so people who aren't in Suicide Squad include
everyone who's ever lived, and that's all the news. That's pretty much it, really. I have nothing left to bestow on our lovely listeners for their patience in getting to the end of this podcast.
The only thing I wanted to say was, is there a video game that you would like to see made into a film?
Nice. Leisure Suit Larry. But to be honest, that's all of you, Paul. And you?
Well, we talked about it earlier. I've always thought Metal Gear Solid would make a great film. The first one, because it's the... It's
Snake.
It's not that the plot isn't actually that long, and I'm sure if they edited it down, it could work. And it's a good mix of sort of dialogue and action. And my other thought was Red Dead Redemption, but the problem with that is that it's a parody of Western films. So to make that then back into a film would maybe just insult all the films that it had kind of been a pastiche of. Or...
Yeah.
Great plot, though.
I love that game. Mm. I adore it. I want Rockstar to make a sequel. I'm not interested in doing any more Max Payne or even really GTA. Well, I do want them to do another GTA, but more than anything, I want them to do Red Dead. Which is weird, because as the Western genre in films, I don't like. I'm not interested.
Do you not? Oh, no. Okay. I'm quite a fan.
Ooh, what's the best Western? What's your favourite?
My favourite is probably Once Upon a Time in the West. I like all the Sergio Leone ones. Actually, to say I'm a fan of Westerns is not entirely true, because I like those spaghetti Westerns far more than I like John Ford Westerns or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
Even though I will watch them, I have to watch them with that sort of critical modern eye, which picks up on all the racist bits or, you know,
of which there are plenty, I'm sure. Yeah. Once Upon a Time in the West. Why in my head am I thinking of a mouse film?
You're thinking of what's that film with the mouse is called like Fievel.
Fievel Goes West.
Fievel Goes West.
Yeah. Is that not your favourite Western?
My favourite Western is Fievel Goes West.
Sure. Good. Excellent. Mine's the Three Amigos. No, what were you saying? Oh, spaghetti Westerns. Am I the only one who thinks the Dollars trilogy gets worse as it goes on, rather than better?
Now, it's interesting you should mention that, because The Good, the Bad and the Ugly, it largely regarded as one of the greatest Westerns of all time. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly care for it. I think it's over long, mm-hmm. and I far prefer... the first two films in the Dollars trilogy mm-hmm. are utterly brilliant, mm-hmm. as is Once Upon a Time in the West, which, you know, is... sort of intrinsically linked to those films yeah. for various reasons. Yeah, really love Fistful of Dollars, really love For a Few Dollars More. Good, Bad and the Ugly, frankly, could take it or leave it.
Yeah, and same, and exactly the same here.
Which I know I'm in the minority for saying that. Because,
oh, right, we are, okay.
Apparently so, because it's got such critical acclaim.
Is it not? Yeah. The first one is still my favourite, because it's the tightest of the three. Maybe I've just got a very short attention span, hence why, again, yeah. Pixels.
Yeah.
Film of the week! Actually, I should just say, my wife just saw Inside Out.
Okay.
And said it's astonishing and as good as all the critical acclaim, oh, okay. which it's apparently deservedly getting. Even, apparently, now they will give that one an Oscar nod.
Right.
The rumours are in Hollywood that will get an Oscar nod, and it's frankly worth it, as far as I've heard.
What, is there a particular reason you don't care for the Good, Bad, and the Ugly?
Like I say, over long, I just got tired.
It's like 2.5 hours, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, I had watched the mornings in very close succession. I think once I get to that point, I'm sort of I'm just absorbed full of spaghetti Western cliches, and I just needed to expunge that from my brain. But I love the first one, really tight, fantastic. I still love the second one, but not quite as much. And Good, Bad, like, I just got bored. And I found I didn't care as much.
I quite agree. It's Quentin Tarantino... apparently, I've read this as a quote. It might be like on the cover or something like that. It describes The Good, the Bad and the Ugly as the best directed film of all time.
Oh.
Which I thought, surely not. He's got such a vast film knowledge that surely he could have come up with something other than that. But I don't know. He obviously made an impact on him.
He's clearly never seen Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
No.
He has. He definitely has. Yeah, he definitely seen that. Right, let's wrap things up. Thanks ever so much for listening. I genuinely appreciate it. Kit, thank you so much for joining us.
That's all right, mate.
If you want to get in touch with the show, by all means, please do. The email address is notthespecialedition@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter @notspecialpod. And if you want to follow @verycuteanimals, be my guest. They've got 24,000 followers, and they follow 24,000 people.
Oh.
They're that kind of account.
That's nice, yeah.
Yeah, nice balance to the world.
Yeah. Do you think maybe that's what they're doing with us?
No.
Hoping for a follow?
Def's not.
Okay.
No.
Did you give them a follow back?
No, of course I didn't. Yeah, they good. Love this podcast.
Take that, @cuteanimals.
It's not even the right handle. We're going to deliberately get your handle wrong so people don't follow you.
I don't know, you've said it enough fucking times already.
Right, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll be back soon. Bye.
Mwah. Bye.
Thanks for listening. I'm off to wash my tits.